Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, good afternoon. Can you believe it is Sunday, February 1st, 2015? I'm feeling terrorized today, not because it's Super Bowl Sunday and the Seahawks are playing against the Patriots. I feel terrorized today because February 1st means April 15th is not far behind. In fact, April 15th sneaks up on us every year. By us, I mean the general public and taxpayers. We know we must store all tax returns, substantiating documents all year round. But in reference to business tax claims, how many of us are still pulling receipts out of shoeboxes? I attempted to organize my business tax receipts recently, and I realized I don't have them all in one place, according to date, the way I should have them. And I need to retrieve several receipts from Google and other storage areas. So like I said, April 15th will be here soon. Many of us have our business tax information in shoeboxes. I myself got to organize my business tax receipts, and I better do it fast. I have begun to ask friends and associates, who does your taxes? I really feel like that's a invasive question, but I have been asking it. Many of the smart people tell me they retain an accountant who has been doing their taxes for years. Some of us use the various tax services out there. Let me give a shout-out to Liberty Tax Service of Chesapeake, Virginia. I visited the Liberty Tax website for a lot of useful information about tax returns for persons who are self-employed. Some of us will use free tax services provided by AARP or the IRS. Some of us will do our own taxes using the TurboTax program for personal and business taxes. This year, I will do everything in my power to get back what I deserve based upon my business expenses. This year, 2015, I also vow to earn more revenue so that my business will not look like a hobby next April 15th, 2016. With that information and my affirmation in mind, let's move on. You are listening to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Laura Gall, and this is Laura Gall's Financial Fitness Boot Camp. This is a new segment of my podcast, which I air on the first Sunday of each month. I have always been interested in money and finance, and so I have decided to disseminate a little of the information I have found to be valuable over the years. Today, my topic is taxes for the self-employed, or, you know, filing taxes for your small business. I am not a tax preparer or an accountant. That's my disclaimer. I am not a tax preparer or an accountant. Do not use what you hear on my show today to do your taxes. I mean, this will not be adequate enough information to do your taxes. As a matter of fact, today's show is just conversation. I do not work for the IRS. But like I said, I just feel terrorized about doing a small business tax, and I decided to look up some relevant information. Now, believe it or not, the IRS is a great place to look up tax preparation information. What they have is a lot of different pamphlets. One pamphlet I found is from 2013. I don't really know the number of it, but it's a small business tax pamphlet. So, like I said, the IRS is a great place to look up tax preparation information, especially for people who are self-employed like me. First of all, self-employed means you file a 1099 tax form, not a W-2. A W-2 is for people who are employees. So if you are self-employed, you need to file a 1099 tax form, and you must know how your business is held. Is it held as a sole proprietorship, an LLC, or are you an independent contractor? Okay. An independent contractor doesn't actually hold a business. They may hold a business license, but they may not have a private business set up, such as a sole proprietorship or an LLC. Second of all, you must be organized. Now, this means having a manual tax binder that is organized by days or weeks or months. In this tax binder, you will have records and receipts related to expenses and revenues according to date. Those records will help you get any tax credits or deductions that are due to you. And the word due is D-U-E. Some people use receipt scanners that automatically organize business receipts into dates and categories. This is, to tell you the truth, I need a receipt scanner. But right now, I have the manual tax binder set up. After filing your taxes, you should keep these documents from 3 to 6 years. So like I said, first of all, if you are self-employed, you need a 1099 tax form, or you will be filing a 1099 tax form. Second of all, you must be organized. And this means having a manual binder that is organized by days or months. In this binder, you will have records and receipts related to your business expenses and revenues according to date. Those records will help you get any tax credits or deductions that are due to you. Some people use receipt scanners that automatically organize business receipts into dates and categories. And after you file your taxes, you should keep these documents and your tax form that you filed from 3 to 6 years. And that's the recommended time period. 3 years for personal taxes and up to 6 years for business taxes. Now, thirdly, I want to go over deducting the cost of operating your business. Now, I'm not a professional when it comes to this, but I'm using some information I obtained online and information that I hope will assist me. In this section, I will use information, like I said, from an IRS pamphlet to review these items. The IRS actually tells you what is deductible and what is not deductible. Don't make up your own deductions. If you do, you will put up a red flag for the IRS to audit you. That's just my opinion. Okay, so now let me move on. Like I said, the IRS has publications that explain which business expenses are deductible. Now, your business expenses offset your business revenues, okay? If you are operating a business in the red and you don't have any revenues, the IRS will eventually look upon your business as a hobby. And, you know, you don't want that. So you can deduct the cost of operating your business. These costs are known as business expenses. These are costs you do not have to capitalize or include in the cost of goods sold, but you can deduct in the current tax year. To be deductible, a business expense must be both ordinary and necessary. An ordinary expense is one that is common and accepted in your field of business. A necessary expense is one that is helpful and appropriate for your business. An expense does not have to be indispensable to be considered necessary. For more information about the general rules for deducting business expenses, see Chapter 1 in Publication 535, Business Expenses. And like I said, those publications come out during various years. So you may check Publication 535 for year 2013 or 535 for year 2014. Okay. Now, useful items you may want to see or entertain from this pamphlet are information about travel, information about car expenses, regular business expenses, and property, you know, your office location, things like that. Some people who own small businesses incur debt to operate a business, and some people call those startup funds. You may have a startup fund from your own income, or you may create a business plan and go out and get a loan when you operate a small business. Say someone who operates a nail business or a beauty salon. That can be considered a small business, but if they need a location where they have to rent, purchase supplies, all of that, they may need to take out a loan. And that loan, hopefully they'll qualify for the loan, and that loan actually becomes a business debt. Okay, so you have to be aware of business debt and non-business debt. Now, your credit card expenses for your personal use is not considered a business debt. Okay, now local transportation expenses. Local transportation expenses, and this is according to the IRS pamphlet, include local transportation expenses include the ordinary and necessary costs of the following: getting from one workplace to another in the course of your business or profession when you are traveling within the city or general area of your tax home. They will define your tax home later. Okay, visiting clients or customers. So local transportation expenses include getting from one workplace to another as it relates to your business. It includes visiting clients or customers. It includes going to a business meeting away from your regular workplace. And it includes getting from your home to a temporary workplace when you have one or more regular places of work. This temporary workplace can be either within the area of your tax home or even outside the area of your tax home. So your local transportation expenses, that's information. And like I said, you need to go through all these different IRS tax documents, tax pamphlets to learn more about deducting business expenses. Local business transportation does not include expenses you have while traveling away from home overnight. Those expenses are deductible as travel expenses. So there's a difference between transportation expenses and travel expenses. Travel expenses may include travel, meals, or and entertainment. Generally, your tax home is your regular place of business, regardless of where you maintain your family home. It includes the entire city or general area in which your business or work is located. Example, you operate a printing business out of a rented office space. You use your van to deliver completed jobs to your customers. You can deduct the cost of round-trip transportation between your customers and your print shop. Okay. Your home office. All right. Your workplace can be your home if you have an office in your home that qualifies as your principal place of business. All right. So now you got to get all the lowdown on that, having a home office. Methods of deducting car or truck expenses. Okay, for local transportation or overnight travel by car or truck, you generally can use one of the following methods of figuring out your expenses. So when it comes to cars, you can use standard mileage rate or actual expenses, and the IRS goes through that for you. Standard mileage rate. You may be able to use the standard mileage rate to figure the deductible cost of operating your car, van, pickup, or panel truck for business purposes. For 2013, which is where this form comes from, the standard mileage rate is 56.5 cents per mile. So you can actually deduct 56.5 cents per mile traveled in relation to your business. Wow, that's considered to be a huge deduction, because you have some people out here traveling, oh my God, 1,000 miles a week in relation to just the home business. And that mileage really adds up. You cannot use standard mileage rate if you operate five or more cars at the same time. You cannot use standard mileage rate if you claim a depreciation deduction using any method other than straight line. You cannot, there's some more details here. Now, in relation to cars, they are also talking about parking fees and tolls. In addition to using the standard mileage rate, you can deduct any business-related parking fees and tolls. Parking fees you pay to park your car at your place of work are non-deductible commuting expenses. Now, parking fees you pay to park your car at your place of work are non-deductible commuting expenses. Okay. Actual expenses. If you do not choose to use standard mileage rate, you may be able to deduct your actual car or truck expenses. Okay. Now, here's another tip from the IRS. If you qualify to use both methods, somehow you may be able to qualify to use both methods in relation to your vehicle. You can actually get a larger deduction. Now, actual car expenses include the cost of the following items: depreciation, lease payment, registration, garage rent, licenses, repairs, gas, oil, tires, insurance, parking fees, or tolls. If you use your vehicle for both business and personal purposes, you must divide your expenses between business and personal use. You can divide your expenses based on the miles driven for each purpose. Now, example, you are a sole proprietor of a flower shop. you drove your van 20,000 miles during the year. 16,000 miles were for delivering flowers to customers, and 4,000 miles were for personal use. You can only claim 80%, 16,000 divided by 20,000, of the cost of operating your van as a business expense. Okay, like I said, I guess you need to get a professional to figure all this out, because I know that's what I need. Or, and like they said here, for more information, see IRS publication 463. So if you want to learn some of this stuff yourself, which is what I have been trying to do, visit some of the IRS publications. Now, they also talk about owning a small business and having employees. Okay, then they talk about owning a small business ownership, or having employees use property that belongs to the business, such as vehicles or computers or situation like that. It talks about employee pay, okay, and it talks about the kinds of employee pay. Now, in some small businesses, if you're an independent contractor, say like insurance guys, insurance guys receive certain kinds. They receive awards. They receive bonuses. They receive education, maybe education expenses or other fringe benefits. Okay, sometimes meals and lodging. So independent contractors can receive additional types of pay when they operate a small business. And like I said, I just mentioned a person who's an insurance salesperson may be an independent contractor and may receive bonuses. But then we can go on to other types of insurance, okay? If you operate a business and you're renting a location, you may have to pay for insurance on that location, such as fire, theft, or flood, or credit insurance that covers losses from bad business debts, medical insurance for employees if you have employees, liability insurance. There are doctors that actually operate a small business, and they pay huge liability and or malpractice insurance. If you have employees, you may be paying workers' compensation insurance. You pay car insurance. You pay. You may offer life insurance. And then today, there's a whole big thing with that Affordable Care Act that relates to hospitalization. So people who operate small businesses and have employees need to know federal and state tax regulations, federal regulations in particular, that relate to the new Affordable Care Act. So, and if you're self-employed, you need various types of insurances yourself. I'm going to move on now to legal and professional fees. Legal and professional fees, the fees charged by accountants that are ordinary and necessary expenses directly related to operating your business are deductible on a Schedule C or a Schedule CEZ. However, you usually cannot deduct legal fees you pay to acquire business assets. Add them to the basis of the property. Okay. If fees include payment for work of a personal nature, you can take a business deduction only for part of the fee related to your business. Okay. Now, tax preparation fees. You can deduct on Schedule C or CEZ, the cost of preparing that part of your tax return related to your business as a sole proprietor or statutory employee. You can deduct the remaining cost of a Schedule A if you itemize your deductions. You can also deduct on Schedule C or C or Schedule CEZ the amount you pay or incur in resolving asserted tax deficiencies for your business as a sole proprietor or statutory employee. They also go on to talk about pensions. Then they talk about rent expenses. How much rent do you pay for your location, and is it reasonable? Okay, they talk about income taxes, employment taxes, self-employment tax. Now, you must report all income you receive from your business on your tax return. Let me repeat that. In filing your tax return, you must report all income you receive from your business on your tax return. And I'm sure you it's documented on your 1099. Okay. Some of us, in some states, we pay personal property taxes. I know I pay personal property taxes on my vehicles. And here the IRS actually gives you an example. May and Julius Winter drove their car 7,000 business miles out of a total of 10,000 miles. They had to pay $20 for their annual state license tags and $20 for their city registration sticker. They also paid $235 in city personal property tax on the car for a total of $280. They are claiming their actual car expenses because they used the car for 70% for business. They can deduct 70% of the $280 or $196 as a business expense. Now, you can also deduct real estate taxes, sales taxes, excise taxes, fuel taxes. Now, taxes on gasoline, diesel fuel, or other motor fuel you use in your business are usually included as part of the cost of fuel. Do not deduct these taxes as a separate item. So you do not deduct fuel taxes. Okay, travel, meals, and entertainment. When are entertainment expenses deductible? Okay, general rule. You can deduct ordinary and necessary expenses to entertain a client, customer, or employee if the expenses meet the directly related test for the associated test. Okay. Now, entertainment includes any activity generally considered to provide entertainment, amusement, recreation, and includes meals provided to a customer or a client. Definition: the ordinary expense is one that is common and accepted in your field of business, trade, or profession. A necessary expense is one that is helpful and appropriate, although not necessarily required for your business. Well, let me move on. Business use of your home is important. Okay, your use of the business part of your home must be exclusive, regular, and for your business only. The business part of your home must be one of the following: your principal place of business, a place where you meet or deal with patients, clients, or customers in the normal course of your business, and it may be a separate structure. Now, other expenses that a person can deduct in relation to a business, and this information can be found on Publication 535, are advertising, bank fees, donations to business organizations, education expenses, energy-efficient, impairment-related expenses, interview expense allowances, licenses and regulatory fees, moving machinery, outplacement services, penalties and fines you pay for late performance on a contract, repairs that keep your property in normal, efficient operating conditions, repayments of income, subscription to trade or professional publications, supplies and materials, and utilities. Okay, well, that's it. That's about all I can give you today in relation to small business Taxes. You are listening to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Laura Gall, and this is Laura Gall's Financial Fitness, February 1st, 2015. Thank you so much for listening. So long.